All right, coaches, welcome back to the Championship Vision Podcast, episode 342, with the legendary Coach Jerry Finkbeiner. I know he doesn't want me to say legend, but I'm going to say it on that. So, Coach Finkbeiner, welcome to episode 342.
Well, thanks, Kevin. 342, that's quite a number itself right there.
Yes. Well, I get to learn from great coaches like you, and I'm really excited about it. You've always shared so much information with me about all your teams and also the Twilight Zone Press, which we're going to break down today. Okay. On that, I know Mike DeVelbis, who I had just recently, I know he'll probably refute that, but Mike has a lot of compliments for you, Jerry. By the way, you two are kind of the key figures on building this defense. Hey, tell our audience a little bit about your past teams. I know you had so much success, Utah State, Oral Roberts, Southern Nazarene. Kind of tell us a little bit about your past.
Yeah, I started off small high school boys coach in Idaho about 35, 38 years ago, and kind of morphed into a bigger high school. And then local college men, NAI men's assistant job opened up. I did that for 1 year. And then, Kevin, at that point in time, the women's job opened up. And I never thought I'd be a girls or women's coach, sure. But we had four kids in about 6 years. And I was thinking, well, I could probably still coach and may spend a little less time. But little did I realize the women take just as much time, if not more, especially the way the game has developed through the years. But I never looked back. I enjoyed coaching the women the first year and then went on to coach some more high school girls. And then got Southern Nazarene job a few years after that. And then, you know, here we are after Oral Roberts, after Utah State. So it's been a career that I've heard a lot of coaches say is I never really worked a day in my life. I got tired flying and recruiting, and you probably hear that too of college coaches, but it's been a good career, and working with young people is very energizing, and the Twilight Zone that we developed through the years has had a lot of success. I've got a lot of good relationships because of it. In fact, April 6th, my best team I ever had was 1994. It was a team that went 34-0 at Southern Nazarene University, NAI school at the time. And we're having them back for a 30-year anniversary. So I'm digging up some old stuff, some old video. And that team was probably, believe it or not, the pinnacle of my career as far as talent, as far as a team, and the team that executed the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, absolutely, Coach. And I'm studying right now because I really want to, I'm trying to write a book on the Twilight Zone with the great history and origin of this great defense. We use it. I want you to break it down for me a little bit, and then you're going to break down some key concepts for me. Tell us how. I know Dave Olmstead's name keeps coming up, and I think he ran like a spread 2-3 zone, which basically that's what it is. Tell us about the history origin of this great defense.
Yeah, it was back when I was in my first college women's job. Like I just said, I moved from the men's assistant over to the women's at Northwest Nazarene University in Nampa, Idaho. And the district play, the conference play, the dominating team was University of Portland. And Dave Olmstead was the coach, and he had this spread zone defense. And I remember to this day, he'd sit on the bench. He kind of pointed at his kids, move out a little further this way, come in a little. He just kind of orchestrated with his hands. And, steals left and right and layups, and we can hang with him for a couple of 10, 15 minutes, then he'd blow us out every time. And I've never seen that defense before. And after my second year at Northwest Nazarene, I moved on to a high school, and I gave him a call. I said, Dave, can you share me some of that stuff about your zone defense? He said, no. And it was kind of quiet on the phone. And he said, if you want to know about it, just get tapes and study it and come up with your own concepts and how to do it. And that's what I did. And I've had a lot of success with it since. But he, at University of Portland, had some very good teams that were related. He recruited towards Twilight. He developed his philosophy towards Twilight. I call it Twilight Zone. I don't know what he called it, but I have gained through 25, 30 years of playing it, a philosophy of, okay, what kind of offense do you run with it? What kind of fast break do you run with it? Because it's an up-tempo game producer. It creates more possessions. It creates more points. And so I really believe that your game plan has to fit, because that twilight zone is such a big part of the philosophy of what you're trying to do, is up tempo, high risk, high reward. And if your kids don't understand it, they won't be successful. In fact, I'll give you one more little thought here, Kevin, along these lines philosophically. My Southern Nazarene kids 30 years ago bought into it, and they're good players anyway to start with. Oral Roberts bought into it. When I was at Utah State, my last 8 years of coaching, I couldn't get the buy-in. And I don't know if it was a cultural thing in that part of the country, the kids were recruited. I even had young staff members that just didn't give total buy-in to it, because it's very unorthodox. And a lot of people think it's low fundamental. And it really is. It's very low fundamental defense. It's all about anticipation and high risk. If you don't have the buy-in, it's not a good defense. And so I would suggest coaches in today's, right now, in the here and now, that's, you got to build the foundation first philosophically and mentally and even psychologically. You got to take chances. You got to risk and tell your kids that you won't take them out for a missed steal opportunity, but you will take them out of the game because you didn't go for the steal. So it's a mentality. It's a philosophy you got to sell your kids on.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll go into how you close out, the circle closeouts, all that great stuff. I love how you run it. And Mike DeVelvis runs his a little bit differently, but it's basically the same, man. As you said, it's an attacking defense. Mike calls it, a sprinting defense. You got to sprint to spots and so forth. Hey, I want you to talk about really quick is that 1994 team, because I'm really studying them. What got that started with that? What was unique about that team to kind of get really that dynasty started there? I think it's probably before that too, like in 89 also, you had good teams.
I'll have to get you. I've got a VHS tape I've got to convert to DVD, and I haven't watched it in 30 years. We're in the 30-year anniversary of this 1994 team that went 34-0, averaged 94 points a game, averaged just under 20 steals a game. But the question is a good one. The kids were exceptional. I say kids, now they're 45, 50-year-old women. But they total buy-in, and we worked them hard. We ran them hard. They're in great, incredible shape. We had six girls average double figures. We had a philosophically perfect fits. I had a little point guard that was very ball savvy. I had an outstanding athlete. I had a big girl in the middle that great agility, great mobility. I had the tougher than the nails rebounder on the left-hand side back, a girl from Russia, Julia Yunusova. She was a first Russian player in America. Man, she was tough. And so I had all five positions just locked in perfectly physically, and then mentally they're all bought in. So a little bit by chance, we definitely recruited those kids that come to Southern Nazarene. And I just watched this VHS about an hour ago. I hadn't seen it in 30 years. But I was really impressed upon too is what they did after they got the steal, because that's just as important as a steal. If you get that many steals in a game, okay, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to push the ball and turn it over? Are you going to push the ball and hold it? You got to push the ball and go for the basket. Get those points while it's on the table right there. So a lot of ingredients there that just fit 30 years ago, and we're going to celebrate that here April 6th, and should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. You're kind of be really that you had a lot of international players, coach, on that. You were way before your time, man, because that's what it's done now. All the best players, I hate to say it, a lot of your best players nowadays are international on the men's side. We still have the best American women, I think. But there's still some great international, there's some great players internationally. And I got to tell you a little story. We play against a team, Athens Christian, who has 6'3" girls. All right. And they are from, I forget the actual country they're from, but they're international players and they dominate. They're huge. They probably could have played for you. I mean, we have kids all over here in Atlanta coming in. So So you're way ahead of
Yeah.
your time, Coach.
Well, I'll tell you, and there is a reason behind that madness, because at Southern Nazarene, we had University of Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. You were in Big Eight then, but I was Big 12. But we realized in our recruiting that we couldn't go head to head with these big in-state schools. Couldn't go head to head with Texas A&M and Texas. And this is the mid-90s, so there's the internet wasn't there. A lot of the resources weren't there at the Division I power level. So we could not work them because they could out flash us, in the home. And so we realized, okay, let's go on the other side of the Atlantic. Let's go on the other side of the Pacific and see what we can find, because we'll just outwork them. We can't outspend them. We can't outflash them, but let's just outwork them. So we did. We took our Southern Nazarene team to Russia in 1991. And because of that, that's how we made the connection with our Russian girls. We had a girl from made the best player I ever had from the Senegal in Africa, and had some contact people there that got her over the state. She played in the WNBA for 10 years. In
Right.
94, she was a freshman and a standing player. She wanted all 4 years, freshman for junior and senior. Then, like I said, we have girls from Australia, girls from Brazil, but the core players were our American kids, because they understood their American coach. And I had some really smart American kids, some small town Oklahoma girls that were huge in the wins and the championships that we won in the Southern Nazarene, and also Oral Roberts University. Oral Roberts went to the NCAA tournament 5 or 6 times, WNIT 2 or 3 times. Brought that philosophy with us, but the small town Oklahoma girls were kind of the backbone of what we did. But we had a good mix between that and some regional kids and international kids.
Absolutely on that. I want to show you some. I don't know if you've seen. I'm trying to share your screen a little bit. Can you see that?
Yeah, that's Asu Njai, the girl from the Senegal. Played in WNBA for 10 years. She actually had triplets about a month and a half before one of the seasons started, and she suited up and played the first game of the season. She played for Indiana and a couple other teams.
Yeah, I know
Those are
Mark. Yes. I mean, Mark Cranston shared me a lot of these pictures on it. Hey, three national championships
There
right there,
you
coach.
That's good memories. It's it's just there's Oman Arena. That the NAI national tournament back then was a big deal. It was before its time. The local team, Union University, in Jackson, Tennessee, supported that from quarterfinals on. That Oman Arena was packed, a great environment. There's the kids on our team. Two girls right there, Astu and Galen and Sandy. Actually, they're all freshmen. Astu was the player. Can you scroll down one more there? A couple more. May highlight a couple of Julia Yanusova. She was the toughest girl I've ever recruited, and we went head to head many a times. But when she left Southern Nazarene, she was like a daughter. I mean, she just totally buy in with our culture, with the university, and she was a winner. And she had a lot to do with our toughness of the team at Julia
Yeah,
Yanusova.
absolutely. And Mark said you guys had some length and some quickness, and you guys move well. I mean, to have that at your level there was probably big advantage, right?
It definitely was. And like I say, I hope I can convert this VHS and I'll send you a copy. I was just floored basically 30 years ago how good this team was. And they were a special group. And I'm just reminded 30 years later. I mean, it just kind of caught me by surprise on what kind of passers they were. And you just tell the knowledge of the game they had. That Sherilyn Morris, there on the bottom right,
Yeah.
she is a transfer from University of Washington, played 3 years for me. List her as 5'8", maybe I stretched her, but I saw her dunk it in a high school gym in the
Wow.
summertime. It was a sloppy dunk, but it's more than I ever did as a player. And she was probably the best athlete I ever had, just extreme athlete. Had no left hand, but she didn't need a left hand. She was so fast, right-handed, she could jump so high.
Yeah, and I would love to see I would love to kind of meet and talk to some of your key players of that 94 team. I think in that 94 team, I would love to focus on, like, how did you get this started? When did it change from the Redskins to the Storm?
Yeah, changed the Lady Redskins to the Crimson Storm. I don't know, it was probably 10 or 12, 14, 15 years ago. When I was there in the mid 90s, it was the Lady Redskins, the men's team of the Redskins, the native population here in Oklahoma. You know, in today's world too, Southern Nazarene women have had you know, some good stuff happening. And they're 28-1 right now in Division II and one of the top five teams in the country. So he doesn't run Twilight Zone. He runs a really good man-to-man defense. But, you know, back in the day, you know, we committed to the Twilight, and that's really what the backbone of who we were back then, with the steals, the points scored. One of the byproducts of it too, Kevin, is that a lot of people score. I played a lot of girls. Astunde Jai, the post girl from Africa, I think she averaged like 19 minutes a game because we were so far ahead at halftime. It's just unconventional at that time of the athleticism and the type of kids we had. A lot of easy games and a lot of good things happened for us.
Yeah, absolutely on that. And I think that team needs to be celebrated, Coach, because I heard so many great things. Mark Cranston provided me all the resources on that. I just want to make sure that, you got the okay on that. Mark's unbelievable. Talk about a legend himself. Talk really quick about Mark. And then I want to kind of go in with Chad and talk a little bit about Chad and his program.
Well, I'll tell you, Mark Cranston was our athletic trainer, very accomplished. And he's given me a lot of reminders, a lot of stuff, you know, too. In fact, when we have this, we're April 6th of the Saturday, Kevin, we may try to zoom you in on that meeting a little bit. You can interview a couple of the women, you know, that played for me. And we're hoping Astu gets over here from Africa. We're hoping the kids that aren't involved, or the girls aren't, the women aren't involved in it, will be Zoomed themselves. But I'm really excited to get all these people together and share these memories. And I'm here in the office of Chad McNeil in Wynnewood, Oklahoma. And Chad's a first-year high school coach. He's a Southern Ballers club coach in the summertime, first-year high school coach here. And he's adopted the Twilight. And he's got some young kids coming up. They're going to be pretty good at it in 3 or 4 or 5 years from now. But it's just fun to watch coaches like Coach McNeil and see your success with it. And I think, too, Kevin, the younger kids, it's more of a dominating defense, the junior high, the high school. As you get into college, you need to have the position more correctly, you know, recruited to. And then as you move higher, then it becomes a little more of a situational defense in a lot of ways. I've seen the UConn men back in the 80s played a little bit of it, and they use it in situations that I remember. But you know, I've always thought this: if you have equal talent, you'll win every game. If your talent's not as good as your opponent's, the Twilight may be the equalizer. If you have better talent than your opponent's, you'll blow them out. That's kind of my thought with how important the Twilight is in the game plan.
Absolutely. Hey, Coach Chad, hey, thank you for coming on the podcast, by the way, on that. Hey, tell us a little bit about you and your program and why you guys have adopted this great defense.
Yes, sir. First of all, thank you for having me. Really, you know, honestly, through Coach, he basically took me underneath my wings with this. I actually do this in my competitive ball. I have a traveling team. That really does the Twilight a lot, and I have some girls that are very aggressive, got some speed and stuff. Right now, I'm trying to develop my. It's new to the high school girls that I have right now. You know, obviously, having to learn it, something new to them, as far as having the speed and stuff in the girls that I have. You know, we're trying to develop those kids. Like I said, like Coach said, the younger kids. We're instilling that process right now, trying to get them to develop the basics of it and then be able to grow from there. I believe that it starts at a young age, and once we start developing at a young age and getting the basic of the defense, then I think we can grow to where we want to go. This is my first year with the high school girls here in Wynnewood, and so it's just like, you know, I'm trying to get over that hurdle with them.
Absolutely, Coach. And I want to see how you guys, we all break things down differently and so forth. Of course, you have a great name, Wynnewood, so you definitely are expected to win. Yeah, so I'll tell you. But I know I love seeing what comparisons between like a Georgia, the different states on girls basketball. I think there's talent everywhere, right, Chad?
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. Hey, I want to share something with you. Then I want you to break the press down for me, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to share some of our videos, and don't critique me too bad. But we, this is my first year at Commerce, my 33rd year coaching, and I have kind of an athletic team. Last year, they won 6 wins. This year, we won 16, went to the Sweet 16.
Good.
We can't shoot great, but we can D it up a little bit. We have some quick athletes. So I want to share with you guys some things, and I want you to kind of just pick us apart a little bit. All right.
Okay.
All right. This is actually, we actually play a 2-2-1 press going back into it. All right. So this is just a, and it'll go from one segment to the next here. So this is our actual buzz right here. So we play it wide. And what we do is we really try to get out there and pressure the guards.
Kevin, let me interrupt you. I don't see it on my screen.
Okay. Is it Sharon? Can you see Chad?
No, sir.
No.
Okay. Let me try it again. All right, here we go. My fault.
Here we go.
I got to talk to my producer.
Don't fire him. He's doing okay.
All right, guys. So I have like 4 clips I just want to kind of show you. We do a lot of 2-2-1 back into buzz.
Mm-hmm.
And we're constantly pressuring the ball. I rotate between small and big girls as my chasers is what I call it. You know, we give teams fits on the perimeter. Sometimes we get beat inside.
Yeah, I've noticed through the years with the tempo of the game, there's a lot of missed inside shots too because they're hurried.
Yeah.
I know I always tell our kids just because you're giving up an easy shot doesn't mean it's going to go in, because it's amazing how many shots are hurried and are missed.
Jerry, tell me about – this is what we do a little differently. We like to pick up almost 3/4. Now, we bring it back here, but like here they had a big girl in the back. So what I do, I kind of match up with it. I know it sounds – but look how our girls are here because they're not a great ball handling team. It depends on who we're playing a little bit. This is a little bit different than how you do it. But they had a big 6-foot girl in the back here a little bit.
Okay.
So we wait for you to kind of make that hurried up quick pass.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, 2-2-1, I've used that also. It's just it puts that full court pressure on, and they just are come right into like a spider trap right there.
Yes, sir. All right, just one more because I want to get you guys into it. I just want to kind of rip into me, and I'll. All right. One thing we teach a lot is what we call walling, and I know you guys do the same. So I like this possession here because we do a good job. We like to force it right into this wing spot right here. See how girls, we don't play them back. We play them up.
Yeah.
That's where we want the ball, right there.
Right,
so
right.
The kid, that doesn't good. Happen all the time. So tell us about positioning here. Tell us about, Chad, tell us about positioning, how you guys do with your team and so forth.
Draw it up there. Yeah, do you want to – can you see the whiteboard behind us?
Coach, can you see the whiteboard?
Yeah, let me get out of the share a little bit.
Oh, okay.
And we'll come back to your – Hi, Coach.
So if they're at half court, I pick up at half court, and then right here at the top of the 3-point line, I have a girl here, and then I have two here staggered. Okay, so they're like this. So usually they'll have a post player here, and they might have one here or whatever. But my main deal is I want to push this girl here. Whoever has the ball, my goal is to push her up the side.
Right.
Okay. Once I push her up the side, down here a little bit to the – I usually use the free throw line as my mark. But when I bring this girl comes out and this girl here, the main thing is that I want to stay in the passing lane.
Right.
Okay. My backside girl, my girl that was at the free throw line, I mean at the top of the 3-point line, she's literally running full speed down to the bottom. Mm-hmm. Mainly that's my five that's there. Okay. My backside girl that was on the other side, she actually coming up to the top of the free throw line up top. Okay. So this is my rotation. Once the ball is rotated to the corner, it's called convert. We all are convert. This girl here on the bottom side that was at the free throw line that came up, she's actually collapsing down, staying in the passing lane. The five that shot down is coming across. Okay. And then I trap right here. The girl that was here up top, she becomes over here to taking the place of the backside girl on the free throw line. She's up high now. The girl that was playing backside, she actually comes over and take the five spot. Okay. And then the girl here that was up on top, she would just be coming on the backside. I know it probably looked like a whole bunch of chicken scratch, but I can number it to where it'll make it easy.
Sure.
I explained it right, Coach?
Yeah. Yeah. We've had a few sessions here.
I'm not a very good drawer, so don't laugh at me.
That's fine, Coach. That's good. That's good.
So I got my one and my two here. I have my five here. I say my five. That could be my five or my four there. It just depends on I like a little speed there. I have a girl who can run a little bit. And so I'm comfortable with her playing there, okay? I have my three, and then I have – let me rephrase that. I have my four, and then I have my three on this side. So I have my odds on one side, my evens on the other.
Okay.
Okay? And as the ball comes – my goal is to push her up the side. I want the girl to go up to this side or this side. Either way, my main goal, if they come up the middle – these girls right here were what we call, they will pinch. Five will come up and we will just pinch. These two girls here will actually collapse and they will pinch down to make sure that they don't come up for I can't get no easy passes down low to protect the basket here.
Okay.
Okay. So if I got a girl that comes up the side, let's say two, they come up the side, four actually come up, two will come up, and stand in the passing lane the whole time. Stand in the passing lane is the biggest part to me. Five will actually take four spot. So four is here. Five is here. One is now here. Okay. One was on this side. And she's over here on this side. And three stays backside. Okay. Once the ball is what we call convert, four will actually shoot down, stand in the passing lane. Five will come out. Two will come take one spot at the free throw line. Okay. This is four. Backside where three is, three will be coming over on the top side right here. So this is five here. This is three here. Okay. And then one will shoot back here on the backside. So now with that being said, so if this, let's say if this person here just want to make this long passes here, one's responsibility is to take away that pass there. She can jump that and she can take away that pass.
Sure.
Okay. Like Coach said, I teach them to be very aggressive. We have to fly around. If we don't fly around, then it's not going to work. Where I get a lot of steals at, honestly, is right from the jump, right from the top, from the beginning of the press. And we teach our girls to be very, very aggressive here. What was it? This is two. So this four girl, she's up a little bit. She's protecting there, and she's playing here. Because you'll have a girl here. When this ball is actually passed from here to here, this girl is coming to steal that ball. Mm-hmm. And it happens a lot. That's where we get a lot of steals at. It's just that part. Everything is duplicated on the other side also. And all of the shifting is the same. That makes sense to you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely on that. Yes. Where does, you know, the hard thing about the defense is you go up against, like, we've gone against, like, 2 6-foot bigs, and they try to throw it over the top. That's hard to cover, isn't it, Coach?
Yes. So when that happens, what I do is I don't bring my four or my three out as far. Their job is to protect the lower girl. But the problem is if we put enough pressure up here and this girl up top has her hands up and stuff, it's kind of hard sometimes to get that ball down there. That's a long pass from A to B,
right?
You know, down low. And it just depends on how much pressure we actually put them up top.
Yeah.
But then you got the wing players here, like Chad Numbers here. It's, you got the three over this side. And you got the four over here. And here's the ball at top. Their guard. You say okay on the thing? Okay. But, you know, these girls here are drilled to guard two people. And so if three is supposed to be a pretty good athlete and she wants to even bait that pass, they come out here a little bit higher, looks wide open. Because that's a long pass. That's a lot of time to react. If she can kind of – she could be start down here a little bit lower, she baits this pass. She is that. The same thing with four. If you can only have – you can't really have – I don't see this too often, a 1-2-2 set. But even at that, you know, these girls are drilled to guard both. So if you come down here too deep and just stop that pass altogether, then this pass is too easy. Now you got to close out, and now you lose sight of this girl for a second. So I think if these girls are aggressive where they can guard both – then this girl out here at top didn't have a clear choice, and she kind of hesitates a little bit and slows down. But that's a key to the defense, is that three and the four have to anticipate. Anticipate's a huge word in Twilight Zone. You have to anticipate. Tell, especially high school girls, if the girl who has the ball, if she's looking right, she's probably going to pass right. If she's looking left, she's probably going to pass left, you know? Yeah. So read the eyes. The defense at the junior and high school level, it's hard to play against a savvy Division I type of point guard who can do the no-look passes and has good upper body strength, you know. The reason why this works so good in women's basketball, because upper strength is not developed, and the passes tend to be weak, tend to be slow, tend to be lobbed.
Yeah. And we played against some good point guards this year, Coach. One girl is Lucy Hood. That's going to Western Carolina out here. Big 6-foot girl, handles the ball, threw right over the top. I mean, she was good. She would handle the ball, beat our, and create mismatches. I mean, it's hard when you play against great players, though. But
yeah,
and when you play against a lot of them in our region, man, it was tough. But for the most part, we did a pretty good job containing them.
Yeah, with that in mind too, Kevin, this is a little bit off topic, but playing as a tall point guard, I like to start in a 1-3-1,
mm-hmm.
you know, right here. And then you got her matched up so she didn't have free reign. And then you throw it over here. She just follows the pass and everything else remains the same. And then, you know, just defensively, you take away, you match up that first pass and then you fall into the 22. Or the twilight. But there's different ways, and you know, it's a defense that's basically, it gets back to, it's not as much X's and O's, it's more about anticipation and aggressiveness. And like your little tape you showed there briefly, you know, your kids looked aggressive, they looked athletic, and they're going for steals. You know, one way of teaching too, man-to-man defense, you bend your knees, your palms are up, you see ball, you and your man, you know, this is your possession. Zone defense, you tend to stand up, wave your hands. But twilight zone, you're running, you're jumping, you're diving, you know, it's this kind of stuff. So it's a completely different fundamental on its own based on aggressiveness, based on athleticism.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, hey, talk about transition defense, though. So, missed shot, what's your transition rules?
Well, there's so many different ways of doing it, and Chad's developing that here at Winniewood, what works best with his kids. What I like to do, I like to run back to a 2-3 zone and just protect the basket. So you're just running back to your basic positions of 22, but you protect the basket. And once you have it protected, then you come out and you get in 22.
Okay.
That's the safest way of doing it. We also kind of a little trick of the trade, but a 2-3 zone, we'll say this at a timeout, based on position of the ball, or position or player, or number of passes. So, for example, your question is, you know, we're going to run back, protect the basket, but we might say, okay, whenever the ball comes into this area and we're in a 2-3 zone, that's where we're going to jump out and play twilight.
Okay.
Or let's say player number 3 over here is a good 3-point shooter, but not a very good passer, but we'll play 2-3 zone until she catches it, and then we rush her, and then we're in twilight. Or the last one here, you protect the basket. We might have told the girls 3 passes were in it. So the zone, 1, 2, 3, and boom, we go out and play it. So to answer that question, initially, you miss the shot down here. You know, let's protect the basket, and then one of these 3 ways we'll jump out into 22. 22 is my number signal, but twilight. Sure. That makes sense? I'll explain that?
Yes, sir. Yes, and I like that. And Coach Chad and Jerry, we play a lot of what we call 23 wide. It's basically Joe Gallo defense, in the sense that we play against teams that can absolutely shoot the 3. So we play wide, and we actually kind of bump, you know, we bump the guards, we bump the forwards back. We do a lot of different things, but we also kind of utilize that as well. So that's a great point that you talked about, going back to the 2-3.
Yep. You know, the 3-point shooters, I've always thought this too. Most teams have 1 good shooter. You know, some teams have 2 good shooters. And the really good teams have 3 good shooters.
Yes, sir.
You know, and I think you can guard, if you're just a little patient, you can be in 22 defense against 1 good shooter or 2 good shooters. 3 good shooters, then I do a little matchup zone, which is kind of a man-to-man, you know, maybe a little 1-3-1, just kind of throw different angles, and then more aggressively hit 22 instead of passing lanes, maybe more traps, you know. Right. But – you know, rarely do you play against a team that has 3 good 3-point shooters or 3 good scorers, you know, at any level. But those are hard to guard. But that just forced me to match up zone, do something a little bit different for a while.
Right. Yes, sir. Yeah, we did. We played against teams that were really solid. So they were big. They can run. I mean, we're for a single A school, we have some really tough teams with college level players out here in Atlanta, man. They can put together some teams, man. I just want to tell you that.
Kevin, this may be food for thought. Analytics. I'm a big believer in analytics.
Yes.
You know, and so Twilight Zone is all about creating more possessions. you know, in the game. And so the girls have confidence, you have confidence in it, and more possessions in theory means more layups, means more points. And I have literally, I reflect back, we played TCU at Oral Roberts in a WNIT at TCU, and we were down by 18 in the first half. And we, I mean, that's a lot of points, but the game is long, 40 minutes long. And I looked at my coaches and I said, okay, you know, we either get out of it and punt, or we stay with it. That's who we are. And numbers of possessions. So slowly we chipped away at it, got back in the game at half by about 6 or 8, and actually won by 16 or 18 points. But the Twilight Zone gives up good shots, you know. It gives up hurried shots, but it's also very good rebounding defense because they're spread out, you know. And so if you have any knack of where that ball is going to go, shoot on the right, rebound on the left, get those boards, eventually the analytics catches up to a defense like Twilight because Twilight increases possessions, you know. So there's that patience required. Sometimes you get burned, but you just got to, as if you're going to run the Twilight Zone, you got to realize you're going to give up some layups, you're going to give up some wide open threes, but over the period of the game, the number of possessions you want that game to hurry up. You know, I was talking to Coach Chad here the other night that there's a team out west. I won't say their name. I kind of consult, kind of work with. He has a good team, and they like the up-tempo style, but they play a man-to-man and a little bit of a zone, and they're too good at it. It slows the game way down, you know. And that's where man-to-man does. A good, solid man-to-man defense slows the game down where there's fewer possessions, so you better make your shots down here. There's not much room for error. And when you run the Twilight, you know, to see if I spell it right here. Is that spelled? Yeah. Okay. You run a defense like this to create more possessions. Mm-hmm. Then you got to be fast breaking. And then your offense on the other side of the basket probably needs no more than 4 or 5 passes. You better put the ball up, you know, because if you run an offense down there that makes 7 or 8 passes, 10 passes, then you're slowing the game down again, and you're going against the analytics of your Twilight Zone. So if you believe in a zone like this, a trapping defense, a passing lane defense like Twilight that's creating steals, you need a fast break at every opportunity after a free throw, after a made shot. You need an offense that's quick hitting, put the ball up, you know. If you're a man-to-man guy and a good man-to-man coach, there's a lot of good ones out there, then I think you need to run a very disciplined offense to go with it, because a good man-to-man defense shows up better in a low possession game, you know. Yeah. So it's a philosophical thing that what I like about the Twilight, I'll sell it right here to you, is once you got it, I know Coach Chad is looking for the future for his kids. Once you have it instilled in your program, then your practice time is more about offense, more about fast breaks, the fun stuff, you know. Sure. Less scouting reports, because they're working against you. They're worried about your defense, and you in practice, all you're doing is you're working on shooting, working on condition, working on fast break, the fun stuff. And so I always believed in that too as a positive with this defense, is because you're trying to create possessions and create that style that most teams – well, we had this one saying too 1 year at Oral Roberts, we're going to score 90, can you? You know, and, you know, that's just our, we averaged about 93, 94 that game that year. I think we led the country in scoring Division I, but that's kind of our motto. We're going to score 90 plus, can you? And so that was just kind of the philosophy of how it all fit together.
Yes. Hey, talk about rebounding, because I know when you're out there pressuring, you got to get kids back into the paint. What's your philosophy? What's your techniques on getting kids to rebound out of this defense?
That's a good, you know, fundamentally there's, you know, I believe in the front pivot, check them with your hip to the thigh. You know, you see a kid coming, they're coming right, I like to step in front and front pivot and hit my hip into her thigh. Rarely is that called a foul. Fouls are always usually holding from the backside or in a shooter, you're stepping into the shooter. But if somebody approaching the basket, make that front pivot, hip into the thigh is the key word. That contact is rarely, if ever, called. But if you're in twilight here, let's say the shot's gone up over here, and to use Chad's numbers here, we've got the 3, and we got the 1, we got the which is Chad, the 2, mm-hmm. we got the 5, and we got the 4. So the shot goes up over here, you know, chances are the rebound is going to happen over here. Okay. And so when that happens, shot goes up, 2 is going to come over here with 4, and 4 is going to block off the backside. And chances are the 2 and the 4 is going to get the chance for the board. And so that's basically all we have, is that we contest the shot. And the shot goes up. Our girls understand that probably the rebound is going to happen over here. So 4 and 2 have got to come up with the board right there. Very simple, but we always have the top girl coming over to the offside girl to help with the rebound, get 2 rebounders on this side of the basket. Saying that, Kevin, let me back up because this comes right into play with your question here. When you put your lineup together, this is my tall. I'll give you my 94 team. Okay. This girl here is 6'1", guard. Okay. Nice. This girl here is 5'6". This girl here is 5'8". This girl over here is 6'1". And this girl here is 6'3". Okay, that's a good size college lineup in any year, mm-hmm. especially 30 years ago. But what this offense is teams are right-handed. You know, most every team's right-handed. So most teams are going to go this way with the pass or with the dribble, okay? So you have your best athlete. My best athlete's here. Most teams start this way, and she's going to have more chances for the steals because right-handed teams come her way. This girl over here, answer your question, my best rebounder, okay? Most teams go right. Most shots are shooting from the right side, so most rebounds happen on this side of the floor. Best rebounder, okay? So that's philosophically, your tall girl's here to make that lob pass happen, steal, okay? Shots over here, best rebounder's over there. Makes so sure. That's philosophically, you know, kind of one answer to your question, your best rebounder has to be on this side of the floor. This little 5'6 girl that would come to the elbow when the ball is here, you know, she's coming this way. Sometimes she led our team in rebounding. Little gal, point guard, but very aggressive and always chased the ball down, you know. So when the shot went up, 5'6 and 6'1 over here, but our two best rebounders. Easily our two best rebounders, physically, aggressive-wise, mentality-wise. 5'6 girl, I was watching the tape. I forgot all about this, 94. She has this big old black eye in the national tournament. That's just the kind of player she was, you know, just got in the way of elbows, got in the way of, you know, hitting her head on the floor and cute as a bug, but always had marks on her knees and a black eye. But
What was her name, if you don't mind saying, Jerry? Because I'm guessing it was, I'm trying to think of the, I keep seeing articles about her. Was it Jolly? Well, I forget the name of your point guard.
Her name is Becky Cole.
Becky Cole, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Little girl from Weatherford, Oklahoma. And gotcha. Grew up playing 6-on-6 ball here in Oklahoma, the half-court style.
Long time ago.
But, yeah, so answer your question. It's a question of rotation. Is going, you know, especially a lot of three-point shots are happening here because the defense spreads them out, and so there's going to be long rebounds. And so it kind of, you know, plays into the hand of our twilight zone is that, you know, have the girls in the right position physically, but have your best rebounders in these two positions right here because they tend to have more opportunities.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Don't you guys feel that? I feel like rebounding, yeah, the blockouts are important, but it's the pursuit. Because when we go against these great rebounding teams that we face, they're not only big, but they're quick, and they just get after that ball before you have a chance, and you can have them pinned. So a lot of it's pursuit, right, Jared?
Yeah, it is pursuit. It's and then you know when you're actually in the defense itself, excuse me, it's about if it's a lob pass, you need to go for it. You know, a lot of times these rebounds and putbacks will happen because you miss the opportunity two passes earlier to go for the steal. And I always take a player out because she didn't go for the steal, as opposed to a player that went for the steal and missed it. You know, right. You got to have it. You're going to give up some stuff because you're going to get back to possessions. You want the game to speed up. Have you heard of Grinnell College?
I have. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, Division III school in Iowa. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
When I put my Twilight together, I studied their philosophy because they are hyper offense. Hyper offense. He had some quotes like something like, I'd rather lose 110 to 105 than win 55 to 54. You know, it's a style of game, you know. He said, too, I always remember this quote, I'd rather give up a layup in 5 seconds than have them miss a shot in 30 seconds. Because he wants that speed of the game up and down because his numbers will catch up, you know, the analytics of it all. So saying that with the rebounding teams, and now if you're grossly overmatched physically, then you probably got to play more safely. But if you're not grossly overmatched, then you got to have faith in the numbers and the analytics of what you're trying to do.
Let's talk about that, because to me, you're either going to do something against the best teams or you don't. Like, I mean, I play my defense, you know, 2-2-1, but Twilight against all the teams. I feel like philosophically, your players will believe in you more when you do that with adjustments, right? I mean, you have to, if you're going to use it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, when you're known for a defense like this, and we're talking about Twilight, but it could be some other form of aggressive running jumps or whatever, pretty soon you're going to have the reputation, especially when you start winning with it, that the other teams are going to adjust more for you than you do for them. And so philosophically, that's kind of a John Wooden thing. You know, he always had good talent, obviously, but he never scouted an opponent. He just, they wanted to do what they did the best they're able to do it. And I'm a big believer in that. I think the more time you give your kids to think about the other team, the less time you have a chance to work on what you need to work on. And so I think defenses like this, and I like your 2-2-1 thought, into the Twilight, the aggressiveness of it, because your opponents, and especially in women's basketball, young women tend to think kind of mechanically. And let's just say all week long, your opponents are working. Okay, here's how we're going to beat their 2-2-1. Here's how we're going to beat their Twilight. And so they lock into this. You make one little adjustment in the passing lane, and they have no recourse. They have no second option because they've been working all week on that way of doing it. And so, again, another advantage of this kind of defense, your opponents have to prepare for it because not everybody runs it. It's not a man-to-man. It's not a little zone defense. You know, it's something very unique.
Absolutely. Coaches, I know you guys got to get going, but I want to break down your – give me your breakdown drills. And I know, you know, I love your guard drill. I love your post drill. I love your wings drill. You know, if there's another way that you guys teach – I know you're 5-on-5-on-5. I know you have a name for it, but I couldn't recognize it in your video. But that's a great drill you guys do.
Yeah. That is called the wave drill, if I remember, the wave drill. And what it is – it's probably the best drill there is. Now, obviously, there's some breakdown stuff. I'll give you an example of breakdown. Is that, let's just say you have your four over here and your coach is up here, and you make it just a pass here. She's got to steal it, fire it back. You make a pass here. She steals it, throw it back to the coach. And then you make a pass over here to another coach. Okay. Then she's got to come down here and straddle the lane. This pass looks open, so the coach makes this pass, and she steals it, and then she goes for the layup.
Okay.
And that's just a really good breakdown drill. It gives this girl here all the options here. You know, steal, pass here, move into this position, across here, steal, go get the layup.
Right.
Okay.
Now you mix those passes up, or does she know that she anticipated that pass is going to come? Or
yes.
How do y'all work that?
Yeah, I'll be out here with a basketball, one basketball. I'll throw it deep. She's got to steal it. Throws it back to me. I'll throw it wing. She's got to steal it. Throw it back to me. I throw it to this wing here. Then she gets back to straddles the lane. That's her position when the ball's in the wing. Skip pass, go get it. So it's kind of like a rote memory of reacting to where the ball is on the floor and knowing her coverage assignments. Because when the ball's at the point, no matter, you know, somewhere in here in this area, time of the point, then she's got to guard these two positions. And so that pass here, she steals it. Pass here, she steals it. Pass here, drop to there, going across, steal it. So we try to put these breakdown drills of where the steals happen. Now, the coach itself, you know, you kind of got to lob the pass here, because remember, there's a girl here in the passing lane. So that makes it realistic, too. You as a coach just can't fire it here, fire it here. You can't fire it across there because her teammates are making these passes being lobbed to give her a chance to go get the steal. If those passes are direct, it's not a very good Twilight Zone. Right. You always have people in the passing lane.
You're teaching success.
Yes.
I mean, you're giving them confidence, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, very good point. And, I'll just give you one more. This is just kind of a top of my head. I'm not scripted at all right here. Let's look at the top girls right here. You have the one guard and the two, okay? And you have a coach here. Okay, so right here, you make the lob four. I want to create little passes here where she's got to kind of tip it and deflect it and get it back, try to bounce pass by her. She tries to get the steal. Bounce pass it by her, tries to get the steal. Throw her the topper and try to get a tip, try to catch it, okay? Then when the pass is made right here, she follows the pass in the passing lane, and then this girl here has got to cover this spot. And so when they catch the ball here, coacher, he throws right here, and she gets the steal. So, you know, pass, pass, you know, steal, steal, steal. Then once a successful pass happens, they throw it in, and she gets the steal. So all those little breakdowns, your imagination is your only stoppage point, because there's all kinds of breakdowns you can do that, just creating those passing steals that really happen 5-on-5.
Yeah, so you're ending up all those, and I'm just kind of, I mean, I like to end up everything. You go through the reps on tipping it, stealing it, and so forth, but then the last one, they got to get it, and they got to convert, right?
Yeah, and convert, go score. Yeah. Next group comes out. And I tell you, too, as we're talking about this, the girl that leads a team in steals, a lot of times you're a big post girl. Mm-hmm. If you think about it, you have a post down here, and you got maybe a post out here even. Okay, so she's got to, you know, kind of guard this event. We have her fronted, but let's just say there's nobody there right now. But here's the we'll put a post here. So here's your five. So the coach here will make a bounce pass here, steal it. Bounce pass here, steal it. Over the top, try to tip it out. But once the pass is made right here, then we're going to pass here, and you steal it. Okay? Throw it back out. So if throw it back out here then, okay, then she's right here. Throw it back to the point, then she's got to hustle back to this spot, throw it here, and she steals it there. So you're given every position, the guards, the wings, and out of the post, all the opportunities are where to get your steals. So, again, I'll just review this real quick. You know, pass here, steal, 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 tip it, deflection. Okay, pass here, and then throw there, and you steal it. Throw it back. She throws it here. She's going to pass here. She's coming up and steal it. See, she's from here. When the ball goes back, she's got to go back and protect her area right here. And so we're getting that pass there too. So, you know, that five leads the team in steals because technically she has the most opportunities to get the steal. And then,
For sure.
Yeah. Okay. Then also we like to, too, especially it's even more important in high school, is whenever there's a steal, we yell bingo.
Okay.
And you can yell whatever you want to do, but yell bingo, that gets everybody's attention. You know, okay, we're gone. We're going. And if I get you this DVD of the 94 tape, I'm really proud of them because that might have been the best quality they had. Is yes, we got a lot of steals, but man, there were a lot of conversions to points, a lot of buckets. The last drill that we'll kind of show you, I got, you know, obviously more, but you asked about the wave drill. And what it is here, you have ideally three groups of five. Mm-hmm. And so you have one group out here. They're just kind of, they're right here. And then on the other side of the floor, you have two groups of five. So you may have a red, the white team, and the blue team. Okay, here comes the white team coming up. Okay, five against five. Possession's over with when there's a turnover, which is a steal or a bad pass, a rebound defensively, or a made shot. Then that group of five run off the floor sideline. They get off quickly and come back. And then here comes a blue team. And so your red team runs back to their spots, and here comes the blue team now. They come five and five against this group. And when there's a turnover, a missed or a defensive rebound or a made shot, then they get off. And now here comes the white team again. And so we just go through reps and reps and reps. And we might do it, okay, you play until you get maybe five stops, or play it until you get two steals in a row. It have to be steals. So different challenges with them. And then we'll keep score, you know, which team. So after this team gets two in a row out of maybe they may have seven possessions, they finally got two steals in a row, then they're off, they're on offense, and then the white team will come back here. And so just the wave drill, just waves coming at them, and they're trying to meet that challenge. Two steals in a row, three stops in a row, or maybe five total stops. What kind of challenge is it? And they're on, I mean, their tongues are hanging out. You know, it's a good conditioner. But most importantly, man, the girls get fired up. They're steals. They're going for, they know if they have to get two steals in a row, that's what they're going for. They're going for steals. They're not going for a safe checkout. They're going for steals. And so typically it's more about two steals in a row or maybe three steals total, but cultivate that steal mentality.
Steal mentality. That's something I haven't, I love that. It's right, but I haven't heard that much from, even Mike doesn't really say it. And I haven't heard that much in a lot of these videos. I love the steal mentality. I love that. We got to even change the name. I may just call it the steel defense.
You had the Man of Steel a few years ago in the movies. They get the Women of Steel.
That's right. That's right.
But I tell you too, Kevin, with this is we're all a little bit selfish. We want to get in the scoring book, you know, scorebook. But steals mean what? They usually mean points. Right. Steals mean layups, you know, and steals means points for the team. And this is what Grinnell College is all about, the Division III men's program. They're the only Division III team to ever be on a Saturday main ESPN game, mm-hmm. because they demanded the attention, the points, the possessions, and the crowd loves it. The kids love it. You know, when you score points, parents love it. You know, that 94 team, I was looking at stats, six girls average double figures. I mean, that's a fun year. Your sixth man's coming off. She's getting double figures too. Parents are happy. It's just, you know, then you have, you know, that century mark, 100 points. Can you score 100 points? And maybe the local fast food restaurant gives up fries if you get 100 points, because the crowd's into it. But statistically, you really stand out. Your kids have a chance for more awards, you know, within the conference, because she's averaging double figures and or double figures rebounds, you know, possessions increase statistics.
Right, right. Yeah, in our system, you know, we go, you know, 75 shots, 20 plus deflections, force, you know, we want to force 25 plus turnovers and so forth. We really focus on that. So, the system fits right into what we want. Let me ask you this. In the wave drill, you say steals, but they're getting steals and not converting. How would you incorporate that action into conversion to – in like a 5-on-5-on-5 game?
Yeah, you're right. The wave drill cultivates that aggression of mm-hmm. steals, of high risk, of going for the steal. I mean, if the girl doesn't go for the steal, you get on them, you know, right. Because your defense is working hard to get those steals. If they don't take advantage of it, you know, it's time to sub, time to chew a little bit. The part about conversion is once you have this defense, I think, within your system, you know, the wave drill is about all you need to do from that point on. I mean, mm-hmm. philosophically in college ball, it sounds ridiculous, but my good teams at Southern Nazarene, my good teams at Oral Roberts, we spend about 2 weeks on this pretty intensely in our breakdown or a wave drill. And after that, we rarely did anything with it. Maybe once a week we throw out the, you know, the wave drill, you know, just to kind of keep things sharp and kind of keep things going. It's fun. The girls love it, you know. But once you have that instilled, there's a good percentage of practice that you work on conversion, on fast break drills, on touch pass drills. Again, I don't want to brag too much about this 94 team, but I could not believe, I mean, how many times there was touch passes up and down the floor, two on one, touch, 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 layup, no dribbles, you know?
Right.
And so we did a lot of two on one stuff, a lot of three on one stuff, just touch passes, no look touch passes, you know, and laying it up. So that's kind of the next level up. The steel is what creates that. And then so a good percentage, and you've got your own fast break drills, and it's just about handling the ball on the open floor, pushing it, and then finishing that layup. You know, I know Coach Chad here at Wynnewood locally, they got some good steals, but they miss layups. You know, they got some good steals, and then they turn the ball over, you know, themselves. So this drill itself is just meant to create aggression, create that steal mentality, and then, yes, touch pass drills, figure eight, passing up and down the floor, chest passes, bounce passes up and down the floor, baseball passes, all the stuff that pushes the ball forward. Those are the drills you want to put in your practice daily. And again, the beauty of it all, you know, maybe memory fades a little bit here, but I remember rarely talking about our opponents, rarely talking about our opponents' philosophy, what they try to do. It's just more about daily working on fast breaks, daily working on three-point shots, daily working on our offense, you know. And I think those teams that perform so well here were the high-scoring teams, but we spent a lot of time in practice shooting, passing, and running.
Absolutely on that. Maybe that's the next video we do is the your offensive system.
Okay.
Well, you guys are quicks, you know, I mean, like nowadays we're a five out. I mean, we're looking for, you know, the corner threes. We run a, you know, a wide two-sided break. And we're looking for quick shots. Is that something that if you were coming back now, how would you adjust now, Jerry, offensively to, or defensively to what the game is now?
Yeah. The game is trendy. I always like to watch the NBA. I had some friends in the NBA. I had some friends in European basketball is a lot of fun to watch. I like to watch. It comes on at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I'll tape them. But I like to watch European men. A lot of things happen with quick type of plays, you know, screens and back doors and, you know, some fundamental team offense that creates really good shots. But saying that, I think – I get back to Grinnell and studying their philosophy and what they did and how they try to create the mentality of quick shots. Loyola Marymount with Paul Westhead, mm-hmm. with Hank Gathers and Bo Kimball. I worked and watched a lot of their film. It's all about creating possessions. So I do the same thing if I took the job tomorrow, is that every opportunity you have the ball in your hands, are you trying to push it and you're trying to get a good shot in the minimum amount of time? When you get the ball from a deflection or a steal, are you in shape over a period of 10-minute quarters, 20-minute halves to run? You know, when you can't afford to have somebody playing at 80% speed, it just, you know, it slows this down and slows the fast break down. So I'm a big believer, a little philosophical thing. If you call yourself out, you can go back in when you want to. Mm-hmm. You know, I give that to the starters especially. Now, maybe not everybody on the team, but the starters, if you call yourself out, we're going to sub you, but you're sitting on that bench. You didn't have to check with me. You just run back to the score table when you're ready to go. And so it gives the starters a feel that, hey, I'm not going to be penalized if I call myself out. I'm not going to go over there and cool off to where, you know, and I'm missing chances to get steals and points, you know. So that's a little thing too, just – that it cultivates that full speed all the time, playing at 100% speed.
Yeah, there's nothing more fun, particularly at the high school level on that.
Yeah.
I'm sure your kids love that. Hey, before you guys go, tell me, hey, Chad, tell me this year, what were the teams that gave you the most problems as far as your press? Did they have a two-guard alignment? Do they have like a four-cross alignment? Give me your perspective on that. I know you guys got to go, but tell me what you think.
Well, usually a lot of our girls that I've come across this year, honestly, with this year, we wasn't very talented. We're at that learning stage, okay? Yeah. So it was really challenging. I did the Twilight a lot. That's my core. That's what I wanted to do. But there was at times where I had to switch up, just because there were some teams that could shoot the three a lot. And if you're not shifting fast enough in the Twilight and stuff, I felt like I was getting rid of a lot of, you know, giving a lot of threes and stuff away. So basically what I did, I'm trouble with this. So I just went basically three out, two in, okay, what I call 31 or whatever. So basically the reason why I did that is to cover the threes, and my girls could cover those spaces really quick. I mean, I had a lot of girls that teams that I come across that with the speed that I had or whatever, but it wasn't so much as the speed. I think that I have the talent as far as the speed on Twilight. It's just the fact being disciplined and doing it consistently, you know, mm-hmm. and getting tired real easy and stuff. And I didn't want to just set these girls out here and them not being disciplined enough and leaving open shots. So that's what I was running against. So I would switch into this. At times I also on, even if we ran, what was my 23? Like that 2-3 zone, I would also run this at times, but I would make it aggressive, which coach had taught me how to bring this girl out and be aggressive on that pass. So sometimes if I'm covering here, we got this dotted line right here, and this girl right here is covering this girl, and she makes this pass here and also have to go over here and cover this, I teach this girl here to come out and maybe have to either try to steal it or to cover that. And then this girl here bumps her back out of the way, and then she'll go back down, sure, you know, sure. Which that helps too. I'm not a huge fan of 2-3, but I've done it, you know, a little bit because of the offenses that we've come across.
Let me speak for Chad too. Is the Twilight was new to his system, mm-hmm. and they had good success in it, but they're the type of team that would get the steal, then they kick it out of bounds.
Right.
They get the steal and miss the wide open layup. And Chad's over the sideline, just scratch his head, you know. And so eventually the numbers game catches up to his disfavor, right, where he's got to get out of it, you know, because over a period of time, you dig a hole so deep, you know, you just got to make some adjustments. Right. But it's coming. His younger group, and I know, Kevin, I've seen some of your stuff too. Your younger kids in camps and things, fundamentals, you know, and when you gear yourself towards that Twilight mentality and those Twilight fundamentals, it'll eventually come, you know, it'll happen. And that's kind of where we're at here with Chad's group right now.
I even set up in it, you know, on some of the teams that we've run across from the tip, I'm sitting up in Twilight. I used to have my big, you know, most people have their tallest person jumping or whatever, but I actually put my point guard right here. And she jumped, which she's my better player. She was one of my better players or whatever. So I would put her there. I would put my three here. I would have my three here. I would have my two here. And then I would have my five here and my four here. We already off in it, you know. So this girl here, she already knows. I mean, she stays here. So this three here, she'll drop back. This one here, she'll come here. And this girl's already there. Fours go right here. Ones are fives there. We're already set up right from the jump. And I've got a lot of steals from right here.
You get a lot of steals, and miss
a layup. Yep, I've got a lot of steals from doing this right here.
So, That's a defensive offensive jump ball. I like that. I mean, yes. You're still on the attack, but on the defensive side. Yeah, I love
it. Yes. And so I end up, you know, it took me a little bit to see it and stuff. I'm like, okay, what can we do to get it real quick? So I'm like, I don't care if I get the tip. What I care about is on that, because when they pass it, I want them to throw it over the top. This second level just come in and steal the ball, and we off to the races. Yes.
Love it. That's cool. That's a great idea.
Yeah, Kevin, the other thing, too, about this particular thing is no, that's right. It gets back to the overall philosophy, because you're not going to get the tip. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get the first jump ball, you know. And so if you have a little momentum, then that jump ball won't stop the momentum because you're going to get the ball again. So a lot of things feed off of that.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to ask you guys for your contact. I already have Jerry's chat on with your contact so people can contact you. That's my only reason why I do podcasts, is to learn from guys like you, pick up things and so forth. And I actually learned, Chad, really, to be honest with you, I learned more from the guys like you with a young team, because you have to coach.
Yes, sir.
Than a state championship coach who wins all the time, doesn't have to make any adjustments. Mm-hmm. You really have to coach your team up. And I love that. I really appreciate what you're doing over there in Wynnewood, man. I know you're going to have a lot of success.
Yeah, thank you.
So, and Jerry, thanks again for coming on and sharing the game. I want to come out to you guys' reunion. That'd be an awesome visit. Bring my wife out here. I'll just tell her that we're just going out to meet Jerry Finkbeiner, but it's really for basketball. So, I mean, she would love to come out.
Yeah, remind me. We have the kids and the women that can't make it, and the staff that can't make it are going to be in a group Zoom. And if you'd like to be on that, yeah, we'll put you on that group Zoom.
Yeah, so, for sure. I'm jealous of you, Jerry, because you are you're always hiking in beautiful areas. Come on, Chad. This guy lives the life.
He's sending me pictures all the time.
Man, yeah, I'm looking forward to retire. I want to retire like Jerry.
Well, life is good. And I tell you, it helps to have a supportive wife and a family. And God's blessed me and what I've done. And, you know, and I owe people. And I enjoy talking with you, Kevin, and sharing ideas. You know, what you're doing, you're cultivating a culture of sharing. And I think 40, 50 years ago, when my dad was coaching, as a little kid, I'd sit on his lap and go to the sporting goods store with him. And the coach is all sharing stuff. Nowadays, there's too many secrets. So I appreciate what you're doing. You're spreading the word. You're sharing. You're growing. You're not afraid of secrets, you know. And I think that's a key. It's a key to life, too.
Yeah, and we can all learn. I mean, I learned something talking to Chad. I learned something again talking to you, Jerry. Sometimes we think we know, but, man, when you learn something after you know it all, that's when you're really good, man, I think.
Well, Chad, one last thing here, too, Kevin. Chad and I were pulling up your YouTube videos. And so we got a couple of drills from you before we came online here. So
got them wrote down.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to get all my PE stuff, man. I that's what I love the most is my PE. So that keeps me young, I guess. Hey, Jerry, I'm going to give them your contact information, but share again how people can get a contact with you, Jerry.
Sure. Well, you know, probably the easiest way. I'm not afraid to give my phone number out. Text me. I'll text back. I have set up a little Zoom calls like this with coaches out of the blue. I don't know who they are, but my number is 918-740-7133. My email address is jerryfinkbeiner@yahoo.com. So that's all good in the coaches world. And I don't hesitate to share when the time, shows itself.
Absolutely. Yes. And I know you're on Facebook. I don't think you're on Twitter. Is that right?
No, I'm not Twitter, not Instagram, none of the other stuff. And Facebook, as you know, I get a little political. So have a little patience with me in that regard. But we live in a great country, and I'm very thankful for that.
Absolutely. Coach Chad, tell me how we can get a hold of you.
Yes, sir. My telephone number is 405-207-3764. My email address, you can email me at southernballers bb@gmail.com.
Okay. Do you have any social media, Twitter account?
Facebook. Okay. Yep. It's under Chad McNeil. And then also my Southern Ballers Facebook page also.
Absolutely on that. That's awesome. Coaches, hey, Kevin, thank you again for taking the time out, man. I really appreciate it.
Kevin, we get Chad's program up and running. Let's meet halfway in Nashville and play on a Saturday game, high school game sometime.
Hey, that'd be awesome. I mean, that'd be great. Chad, I need three more games. So, hey,
I need some games too, but they junior high games in it.
Coach, I wish you the best, man, building your program, man. I know you're going to do a great job. And you got a good one right there that's going to kind of mentor and share with you. So I appreciate you guys for coming on. Thank you for taking the time out.
All right, Kevin. Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right.
Good luck to you.
Good stuff.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.